I want to look at a text in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There was a child born, and there was a son given. This signifies the dual nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, both human and divine. As a child born, he was flesh and blood. As a son given, he was the divine and only begotten Son of God that was given to us. Now he says his name shall be called Wonderful. Mentioned several other things that his name will be called, but I'm thinking about Wonderful right now. And I'm going to try to sing a part of my little message here with my apologies. 'Tis the sweetest name that the angels know. 'Tis the sweetest name here on earth below. 'Tis the sweetest name, and I love it so. Tell it out to all the world, that name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, earth and heaven's sweetest name. Jesus, Jesus, here and there it means the same. It will ever keep my soul while the endless ages roll. Jesus, earth and heaven's sweetest name. 'Tis the sweetest name that all heaven sings, and the dearest name to it mankind clings. Oh, that sweetest name full salvation brings. Tell it out to all the world, that name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, earth and heaven's sweetest name. Jesus, Jesus, here and there it means the same. It will ever keep my soul while the endless ages roll. Jesus, earth and heaven's sweetest name. Oh, that sweetest name gives from sin release. In the veil of sighs bids my sorrow cease. 'Tis the sweetest name, for it brings us peace. Tell it out to all the world, that name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, earth and heaven's sweetest name. Jesus, Jesus, here and there it means the same. It will ever keep my soul while the air the sages roll. Jesus, earth and heaven, sweetest name. 'Tis the sweetest name e'er employed in song, and it thrills my heart as it makes me strong. Oh, that sweetest name overcomes all wrong. Tell it out to all the world, that name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, earth and heaven, sweetest name, Jesus, Jesus. Here and there it means the same. It will ever keep my soul while the endless ages roll. Jesus, earth and heaven, sweetest name. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him. When our journey is complete, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope hope of earth and joy of heaven. And one more, let's all sing this time. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set us free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's only plea. Oh, how Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Well, you've already guessed, I suppose, that I'm going to talk about a name. I've been singing about a name, the sweetest name,
yes, amen.
The precious name.
Yes.
Somebody says, what is there in a name? Well, there's everything in this one.
Amen.
There's life and death in it.
Amen.
There's salvation or destruction in it.
Yes.
And there's blessing or cursing in it. There's everything in this name.
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to talk to you about a name that's wonderful. He says his name shall be called Wonderful.
Amen.
And in Matthew, the first chapter and verse 21, says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's the name. Right there, all these things we've been singing about is Jesus. And what there is in that name. And there's everything in that name, and there's safety in it. The Word of God says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are safe. There's safety in that name. God help you and me to learn that name and the value of it, and to reverence it and to honor it, to not handle it lightly, to not take God's name in vain. You don't have to resort to profanity to take God's name in vain. But lust just don't handle it lightly. Lust respect the name of the Lord. And when we're faced with strong temptations and deep troubles, flee to the name of the Lord and trust in that holy and righteous name and find safety.
Amen.
Find our defense. We had a Mexican lady in our congregation down at Pacoima, California. And over at Pomona, they were having fasting and prayer day every Wednesday, and they had some Spanish folks coming there, and those Spanish folks couldn't speak English. And our folks couldn't speak Spanish, but they enjoyed being there. They felt the spirit there, and they enjoyed the atmosphere there, and so they came, and God had healed one of them of a bad cancer on his head, and that made them love the Lord and be interested in the truth, and they were coming there to this Bible study. Well, Brother Stover conceived the idea to get Sister Valeria to come over there on Wednesday and interpret for them and talk to these folks so they'd be able to get something out of the Bible study. So she did, and is talking about Jesus, and she says, speak it softly. So they spoke it a little softer, and she says, more softly yet. Gives real sacred name, real reverence and regard for the name of Jesus. And folks, we ought to hold the name of Jesus in high esteem and in great reverence till we would never speak it irreverently.
Amen.
In any kind of a way. Now there's salvation in this name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
In the fourth chapter of Acts in verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other. Now the one that I'm representing to you tonight is the only source of salvation there is in this world. To fallen mankind, there's no other source of salvation but this.
Amen.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven nor among men whereby we can be saved. Jesus will save his people from their sins. But there's no other name given that'll do that. In the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in verse 43, the Apostle Peter in this case is down at the house of Cornelius and is declaring Christ unto them. And he said here, Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Amen.
Folks, there is a remission of sins in his name.
Amen.
He stands between the sinner and his Father, and God, for Christ's sake, has mercy on the sinner, the penitent sinner, and forgives his sins. In whose name is the remission of sins? My text says his name shall be called Wonderful. And I say that a name that will bring about salvation and a saving from sin and a remission of sins, that's a wonderful name.
Amen.
His name shall be called Wonderful. In Matthew, the first chapter, in verse 23, he says, his name shall be called Emmanuel. which being interpreted is God with us. And in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 19, it says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God came with Jesus Christ when he sent him here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ was God's gift to this world. But we've all heard the old saying, the gift without the giver is bare. Yes. And we know that's so. Every one of us know that we don't appreciate a gift very much from someone that just isn't giving themselves to us.
Amen.
And so when God gave his gift, he came right along with his gift. He didn't give the gift without the giver. He came right along with his gift and clothed himself in mortal flesh in Jesus Christ to reconcile the world unto himself. I heard somebody say a while back, I thought it was pretty good. I picked that up and carried that along. He says, when we have service to render or work to do, said we dress for the occasion. He said, I don't, when I'm going to work in my garden and in my yard, says I don't wear the same clothes that I do when I'm going in my pulpit to preach. I dress differently. I dress for what I'm going to do. And he says, if I'm going to a wedding, I dress suitable for the kind of a wedding I'm going to. And if I'm going to preach a funeral, he says, I dress suitable for that. And he says, when God came here on the mission of redemption, he came dressed for the occasion. He came dressed in mortal flesh, flesh and blood, that he could make an atonement for sin with his blood and to give his life. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There's remission of sins in this name. His name will be called Wonderful.
Yes.
And it's the name and the only name that God recognizes at all in exercising mercy toward you and me. But he will do that for Jesus' sake.
Yes.
For that name. Now in this name is eternal life. It said in the 6th chapter of Romans in verse 23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In 1 John the 5th chapter in verses 11 and 12, he said, this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life. Now that's plain and simple, isn't it?
Amen.
We all ought to be able to just kind of locate ourselves there. But there's eternal life in this name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel, verse 18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, folks, there must be a real belief in this name. Believe in our hearts. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
We must believe in this name. only source of salvation is in this name. Now, I've thought about it a lot of times. If God had made a plan of salvation and kind of took us in on it, see, and let us help kind of figure it out and line it out, there'd have been a lot more people saved than what there are. There's just something in human nature we just kind of like to feel like we had something to do with, something we're involved in. We helped to make it. We helped to figure it out or set it up or whatever. But when God made our salvation to depend entirely upon the merits of another man, nothing we could do, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There aren't many people humble enough to just throw themselves out there on that other man and his merits and just freely acknowledge I don't have one thing to commend me to the least of God's favors. Nothing I've done or any sacrifice I've made or any service I've rendered, I have not one thing to commend me to the least of God's favors. And all that I'm trusting in is just the merits of the shed blood of the Son of God. Not many people will do that. They just won't feel like I did a part of this. I helped figure this out. I helped set this up. But it's in this name. And putting our trust in this name. And in His name only. And people stand condemned before God today for no other reason, only they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Luke 24:47, he says, this is Jesus. He says, "And that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached among all nations in my name, beginning at Jerusalem." Yeah. In my name. Everything must be carried on in Jesus' name, or it doesn't amount to anything. It's a sham and a humbug if it is not conducted in Jesus' name. If we do not pray in Jesus' name, if we do not worship in Jesus' name, if we do not do the works that we do in Jesus' name, it's all just a sham and a humbug. Yes. It will accomplish nothing. Repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in His name throughout or among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter, in verse 12, he says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for His name's sake." I stood by the bedside of my dying father. This was on Friday night. He passed away about noon Sunday. And I said, "Now, Papa, it looks like you're getting pretty near to the end of the way." I said, "The saints are all praying, and God's a God of miracles, and a miracle could happen, but if God doesn't intervene, right soon you're getting near the end of the way." I says, "Now, how does it look out there ahead? Do you see any shadows? Do you feel any hesitancy about going?" My father had been a minister of the gospel for 57 years and had been a source of grace and strength and succor to many souls and helped many into the kingdom of God. And as far as I know, he'd lived a life beyond reproach. Amen. All the time that I'd known him. growing up in the home, and I was in my 40s when he passed away. I'd known him that long. But he never said, why do you ask me anything like that? I've been preaching for 57 years. He never said, I've helped many folks and encouraged many people and helped many to find salvation. He just meekly, quietly said to me, I believe on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be saved.
Amen.
All that other was water under the bridge now. He was just, no doubt he was glad for his life and everything, but it is all water under the bridge now. The only thing that was going to amount to anything is my faith in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe on His merits that I'll be saved. Folks, that's where it is. Believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John, the 20th chapter, verse 31, he says, but these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name.
Amen.
His name shall be called Wonderful. Amen. Believing in that wonderful name is the source of our life, our spiritual life, our eternal life. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and the 19th verse. Now let's look straight at this. This means a great deal for you and me. He says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
He's pretty particular about who names His name and how they name it. And how people behave that carry His name. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He wants to be represented by pure, holy, upright people living clean, victorious lives. He said in His word, to him that overcometh, I will write upon him the name of the city of my God, and I'll write on him my new name. He's going to write His name on him, but he's got to be an overcomer. He's not just writing His name on everybody.
Amen.
Folks, let me tell you, God's particular about His name. The psalmist said He has magnified His word above His name. But He said He'll not count him blameless that takes the name of the Lord in vain. He wants you and me to be careful how we handle His name. And what kind of lives we're living when we name His name. Let everyone that names the name of the Lord learn how to behave himself like he ought to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Learn to walk uprightly. Learn to keep ourselves free from sin. Learn to keep ourselves free from reproach. Learn to keep ourselves free from iniquity of every kind. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. First John, or in John, the first chapter, this is St. John, the first chapter, verse 11, he says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
Yes.
believing on his name, he will impart to them the power, right, or privilege to become the sons of God, to be born of God through believing in his name.
Amen.
His name's wonderful. This is just a wonderful name I'm talking to you about tonight. And everything's in it that's worthwhile to humankind, it's all in this name. In Mark 16th chapter and verse 17, he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name." Now what does it mean, in my name? Doing something in the name of another party, what does that mean? Now, an ambassador of our government that represents our government in some foreign country, he does official business there. But it's in the name of our government that sent him over there. And they back him up in that. And the only reason he has any authority at all is because he's been sent by our government over there. And his authority consists in that the government sent him there, and the government will back him up in his work and in his decisions. Somebody gets a little out of line and can't be brought into line, they just call him home and send somebody else over there. They've got to work right in harmony with the program of the government that sent them. Our government, even at one time, demoted a 5-star general because he argued with the president, the commander-in-chief. And he just called him home and sent another man over there. If we're going to do things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be subject to him and properly represent him and keep in line with his program and be commissioned by him to do the work that we're doing. And then he'll back it up. Now he said, "In my name they shall cast out devils." Here's a name, just the name gives power and authority over devils, over unclean spirits. You remember in the 10th chapter of Luke, verse 17, Christ had sent the 70 disciples out and told them to heal the sick and cast out devils and cleanse the lepers and preach the kingdom of God to the people. And so they went out in his name. And after a while, they came back just beaming. Oh, they were beaming. They said, "Why, even the devils are subject to us through thy name." Well, that's what he said. "In my name,
yes, amen,
they shall cast out devils." You remember over in the 19th chapter of Acts, I believe it is. No, excuse me. It's the 16th chapter of Acts. Where this girl possessed of a spirit of divination followed Paul and Silas as they went back and forth day after day from the place of prayer back to the place they were staying. And she was announcing that these men are the power of God and they represent God. Well, that's advertising. Looks like they'd have been happy about that. They're getting their name out and all, but they didn't want that kind of advertising. They didn't want the devil advertising for them. Finally, Paul was so grieved, he just turned and he says, In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And he came out. In the name of Jesus Christ, in my name, you shall cast out devils. You shall take up serpents. Paul did that too. It wasn't presumptuous. It was just something that happened. And it did not hurt him at all. Brother John A.D. Kahn, his uncle testified on his deathbed, confessed that three different times he had put deadly doses of poison in Brother Kahn's food to try to eliminate him, and Brother Kahn ate the food and it is perfectly good, and he never even knew the poison was in there. Never bothered him at all. Well, Jesus said here, in my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. God has verified that over and over again to many people down the line, some under my personal observation. I knew a man that was fishing. They were fishing with a net. And he was down in there they were running the net, and he was reaching down in there to get the fish out of the net, and a moccasin got a hold of him. Bit him. He remembered what Jesus had said, and he just pled that. And it never bothered him at all. Now that was under my observation. That is down in my time. These things have been happening all along down the line in Jesus' name. Where people live for God and represent God like God would have them to, these things have been happening. In my name you shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover in my name. Now we've all seen that all along here in our day. We see that every little while. In the name of Jesus, God's men lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They're doing business for him. We're ambassadors. The Apostle Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. And as I mentioned a while ago, an ambassador that's sent by our government to serve in some foreign country, the government that sent him backs him up. He's there on official business. And he's doing business in behalf of this government. And God's people are ambassadors for him. Christ's ambassadors. And he sent us forth into this world to cast out devils and to heal the sick and the various things that he said here. And if we properly represent him and see to it that we keep our lives in harmony with his will and behave ourselves properly before him, we can accomplish these works in Jesus' name. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just tell folks that whatever you read in the Bible that Jesus was when he was here, he's that now. Just expect him to be that now. And whatever you read in the Bible that Jesus did when he was here, he's doing that now. Just expect him to do it. The Bible says he's the same yesterday as when he was here. Today, that's now. Forever. Going on and on as long as we will need him in this life. his name shall be called Wonderful. You remember as Peter and John went up to the gate of the temple that morning, the hour of prayer, I guess it's afternoon, about the middle of the afternoon, the ninth hour. And there was this lame man at the gate there who had never walked, and he was 40 years old plus. And Peter walked up to him and said, "I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have I give you." Folks, he had something to give. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. His ankle bones received strength, and he went leaping and shouting into the temple. "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Folks, we've got everything right at our fingertips in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us learn to use that name and use it well. Then when all the people came running together over this miracle that had been wrought, Peter said, "Why do you look on me and John as though we were some great somebodies? Know that as though we had done this by our own power." And he began to preach Jesus to them. And he said, "Be it known unto you that in his name, by faith in his name, does this man stand here before you whole." His name, in his name, by faith in his name. We're told in the 5th chapter of James, verse 14, "If any are sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church." Yes, folks, let's learn to obey God's word.
Amen.
Let's learn to place ourselves on believing grounds where God can be glorified. "Let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." In the Lord's name. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Pray in the Lord's name. We're doing business for Him.
Yes, amen.
Recognize Him. Approach God through Him. He said in the 16th chapter of John, verse 23, he said, "Whatever you will ask the Father in my name, he will do it."
Amen.
It isn't a matter of praying to Jesus and asking Jesus. It's a matter of praying to the Father in Jesus' name. God is the one that grants the requests, but He does it for Jesus' sake. And all of our prayers reach God through Christ. It's got to pass through Him, and His stamp of approval has got to be put on our petition before it ever reaches the throne of God. And then God answers the prayer when Jesus has approved the petition. God accepts that, and He answers the prayer, but He answers it, grants the petition for Jesus' sake. It comes by the way of Jesus.
Amen.
Prayers go to God through Jesus. The answer comes back from God through Jesus. He's the central figure in it all. "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you." He'll do it. It isn't just saying Jesus. It isn't just saying in the name of Jesus. but as being qualified to say that. Representing Jesus, glorifying Him, praising Him in our lives, honoring Him, and being permitted and commissioned by Him to do the work that we do. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will do it.
Amen.
Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 11th verse, it says that at the name of Jesus, oh, His name shall be called Wonderful. What a great name it is. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. He has a name. This name I'm talking to you, or have been talking to you about tonight, it's above every name.
Amen.
High above every name that's named in this world or in the world to come. His name is above all. God exalted Him to be a prince and a savior.
Amen.
He had to be exalted, and He had to be exalted high to be a successful savior for you and me. If He hadn't have been put above everything, above it all, then there would have been something somewhere along the line that we would meet up with that He wouldn't be able to handle. And the devil would see to it that that is what we met up with. But when He placed Him high above all, and every name that's named in this world or in the world to come, it's not possible for there to ever be anything that could possibly happen to you and me, or that we can meet with, that He wouldn't be able to handle.
Amen.
He's able to be a Savior. A Savior all the way. Able to save all them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him.
Amen.
Amen.